I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Garibaldi Reds, a Nottingham Forest podcast. As Forest travelled to Villa Park, well, the fans did. Not sure about the players, especially in the first half. The Reds showed a little character after 45 minutes, but it was too late and it wasn't enough for Forest. Well beaten by Aston Villa 4-2. Joined today by Sarah Clapson, Reds correspondent. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Good. Thank you.
Good stuff. And also joined today by somebody slightly different and new to the podcast, Sam, founder of the Tricky Tea T-shirt business. That's a tongue twister, which makes Forest T-shirts and general merchandise and stuff. Sam, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really well, thanks, Max. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Feels a bit surreal to be on this side of the camera, but thank you for having me on. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, good stuff. And we are live across YouTube and Facebook and everything like that, Nottingham Forest News and Garibaldi Reds. So if you want to get your comments in today, to me, Sam and Sarah, you're more than welcome to, as we discuss the Forest Villa performance and digress really where Forest kind of go from here and the huge week ahead. And then at the end of the podcast, we will be giving away a nice T-shirt that Sam is modelling for us. So that nice Alanga T-shirt. We'll give that away at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned until then. Right, let's begin then, Sarah. Sat across me, the opposite side of the press box, really. I was in the away and you were at the press box. I couldn't really see you, but I can imagine it was pretty miserable as the away end was, especially the first half.
It wasn't a great watch, that first half, was it at all? It kind of set the tone, really, after 4 minutes with the goal, and then it didn't get any better from there. Forest weren't in the game. The goals were terrible, really poor goals to have conceded, particularly after the clean sheet the week before. Kind of thought that was something to build on and work with, but they just weren't at the races. There was too many players had an off day in the first half. It did get better in the second half. I have to say it was a real improvement. It was just Forest had too much to do by that point. 3-0 down, got one back obviously before the break, but still it was a lot to do. Having said that, had a couple of really good chances and could have gone 3-3. Alanga scores that goal, completely different outlook then, but I think it was one of those days. It was miserable to watch the first half, better in the second, but a tough one. Villa are a great side, a really good side. I think you have to say that and give them a lot of credit. But Forest just weren't at the races in that first half.
No, you weren't. I'm going to unmute my mic. That'd be a good start on a Monday morning. We weren't, and it was just one of those days. You're right. And Villa are a good side. They're fourth in the league for a reason. We are live on YouTube and Facebook, Nottingham Forest News and Garibaldi Red. So be sure to get your comments in and we will display them on the screen and read them out throughout today's stream. Sam, when you kind of look at Forest on a whole this season, And then the game against Villa, it just seemed really like, again, typical Forest. You concede in the first 5 minutes and everyone kind of around me in the away end almost didn't really react, because it's expected that Forest always seem to kind of start games badly. I mean, if you kind of take away the West Ham game, actually, Forest always seem to have kind of the first 10 or 15 minutes, whether that's conceding a goal or not. It always just seems to be a slow start, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think it was quite frustrating going from that West Ham game, where I thought we were probably one of our best games of the season. We kind of dominated, really limited their chances, and we looked like really dangerous. We could have had a few more, to be honest. And then obviously starting the game as we did, obviously Villa are a great team, and they really made a really aggressive start and flew out the traps really. And we just didn't really know how to handle it. And like you say, yeah, it's always going to be hard away from home. And when you start and concede a goal like that straight away. I mean, I think I saw some stat that in the 13 games or something like that, I think before the game that we'd conceded first, we'd gone on to lose 9, which isn't great viewing. And it especially away from home when you've got Villa Park, which is bouncing, and it's hard to kind of come back from that really. So we didn't really help ourselves.
Yeah, no, we didn't at all. Sarah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because last season we had a similar problem in kind of terms of starting games quite badly, but this season it does seem to happen a lot, and even at home this year as well. I mean, you just wonder whether it's more of a mentality thing with the players, or whether it is just almost them still kind of finding their feet. You know, there's a lot of players that haven't played in the Premier League before in terms of Forest, but then you look at the squad actually and you think, they are proven footballers, and to start games badly, it almost must be causing Nuno quite a lot of problems. Looked at him, stood on the touchline, and he just looked in deep frustration after the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you have to start well. Keeping a clean sheet, you have to be solid from the go, and then try to get forward as well, build on something. Didn't do that at all on Saturday. It was, I know we'll probably talk about it in a bit, but I think his selection choice was wrong. Starting Moussa Niakate at left back, I think it just set the wrong tone. The balance wasn't there. He got done within the first few minutes. Murillo also. And it just kind of never got going after that. And once you've conceded after a few minutes, you're on, it's an uphill battle already. Didn't settle down quickly enough. And it took a while just to get a grip on the game. And that it is something that Nuno is going to have to work on. I think what Saturday showed is that the West Ham game was fantastic, really good all-round team performance. Individually, collectively, Forest were terrific. Saturday showed there's still a lot to do, that there's a lot to work on, there's a lot to improve on. There's issues that need addressing, need sorting. The away form, I think the combination of Danilo and Dominguez, praised that in the West Ham game because I thought it worked really well. I'm not sure it did on Saturday away from home. Maybe it was the wrong choice. Having said that, we kind of wanted continuity and momentum in terms of selection, but it's a difficult one. And I think Nuno still has a fair bit to work out and to try to correct, particularly at the back. The goals were just poor, and they're all avoidable. That's the frustrating thing. Forest shot themselves in the foot, and it's things like that that you really need to cut out to go on a run to build on that West Ham win and climb the table.
Yeah, Forest go from probably their best performance in a week to probably their one of the worst of the season, at least under Nuno so far, in my opinion. Sam, when you look at the selection from Nuno, and as Sarah touched on there, playing Niakate at left back when you've got Harry Toffolo on the bench, it did seem strange to do that. And I think for me, that was the first time that Nuno actually probably got it wrong so far in his tenure as Forest manager. Do you agree?
Yeah, I was worried when I first saw the team sheet. You've got one of the quickest wingers on the right-hand side for Aston Villa in the league, in Leon Bailey. And no disrespect to Moussa, because he's a fantastic centre-back, but he's not someone that you want up against Leon Bailey. So, it panicked me a little bit when I saw it. To be honest, when I first saw the team sheet, I was considering whether we were going to go for a back five and whether it was one of the either the midfield two or Hudson-Odoi was going to play as like a left wing back. But obviously they'd lined up in a four and it clearly wasn't the right decision. Yeah, that that left side of defence really struggled. And all three of those goals came from the left-hand side in the first half. So it clearly shows that something wasn't quite right there. And yeah, unfortunately, I think this is probably the first time I'm going to say it. I think it was probably the first time Murillo had a poor game in a Forest shirt. I mean, I think we've come to expect so much of him. He's still so young and he's so talented. But yeah, it was probably the first time I think he's got done. And you said about the two midfielders, Sarah, I think it didn't really work. I think when we're on top of games, I think those two work really well together because they're really high energy. When we're struggling, I think there was quite a few times where the ball was going into Ollie Watkins' feet and both centre-halves were getting dragged out and it was causing us all sorts of problems. I think Murillo and Felipe were trying to be touch tight to him and he was having a field day out there in the first half. So, yeah, the tactics weren't quite there. But to give him credit, Nuno, I think he made those reactive changes straight after half-time, which is all you can ask for. He clearly realised that it wasn't working like we all could. And he changed it. And obviously, we started to get a foothold back in the game after half-time. Obviously, minus giving away the City goal that kind of killed it for us. It looked like we were starting to get back into it and starting to kind of, yeah, figure out ways of breaking Villa down. And yeah, it's just a shame that we gave that really silly goal away, as we have done so many times this season.
Yeah, for sure. Lots of comments actually about Murillo. Quite a few coming in. It's this one here. It says Murillo looked out of place and really had a bad day at the office. I think that was probably one of his worst games as a Forest player. And also when you, I suppose, Sarah, when you go into the half-time break and two of your centre backs are on yellow cards, it was almost an easy decision for Nuno to make, to have to make those changes. And then Noma Baladelli obviously came on and he kind of gives that goal away, which is a shame because and it just felt like it was going to be one of those days where the players that have performed recently for Forest and almost been unsung heroes in terms of Noma Baladelli, it just seemed like it was one of those games where there was no room for error and potentially there was a little bit against West Ham, whereas this is Villa, a side that are fourth in the league and you really have to just make every chance count and you can't afford to give away sloppy goals like that.
Yeah, Villa are a completely different prospect to West Ham. And to have got something, I think it was going to take everybody being on it on Saturday from front to back to have any kind of chance of getting something. Villa were in that kind of mood. And Forest had too many players who weren't on it. We mentioned Murillo, but he was far from the only one. Felipe alongside him, I thought he had a bad day as well. Both got the yellow cards. Felipe just didn't assert himself in the way that you'd expect someone of his experience and what we've all seen from him before. He didn't do that. Perhaps that didn't help Murillo as well. And also, Murillo having Niakate alongside him and having maybe to cope with that as well, I think it just unsettled the whole defence. It was the wrong setup and it just didn't work from the start. And then it was Forrester on the back foot trying to handle it and it just had a knock-on effect. Dominguez as well, I thought he had a real off day. For someone who really was dominant the week before and was really important and key to the way that Forest played, he wasn't on Saturday. It was just too many players weren't at their best and you needed somebody then to kind of take it by the scruff of the neck. But against a team like Villa, it's difficult to do that. We know Forest can score goals under Nuno. There's no problem with creating chances and maybe could have had more on Saturday. We mentioned the Elanga chance. Ryan Yates had one as well. It's at the back where it's still an issue, where they still need to work on things and it's finding the right setup. And it just shows how important it is to get the team selection right and the balance and the tactics can have a big difference against a team like Villa. Because Unai Emery is a really good manager. I think everything needed to go Forest's way to be in with a chance on Saturday, and it didn't. And they didn't help themselves with that.
No, they certainly didn't. It's a bit of a difficult question, this one, Sam. And I was just going
I'm glad you're asking Sam and not me.
And I was just trying to kind of think, and I look back to last season with Forest, and at this point of the season, defensive wise, as a fan, Sam, are you more confident with this season's defence than you were with last season's? And it's a really difficult question because there's a lot of players that, you know, it's a huge changes in the back four. But do you feel confident in terms of Forest defending more this season, or last season were you more confident?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's been very hit and miss, I think, this season. I think this season I've felt more secure, and that's partly down to having Murillo at the back. As I say, we all agree that he didn't play well, but basically every other game that we've watched him, he's been superb, and he's looked like an absolute Rolls Royce at the back. So he's been one of the main reasons that I think we look secure. But then, like I say, we have those off games. Like, I think back to the Fulham game where we shipped 5 goals away there, and we just have those moments. But then, like you say, it was such a solid performance defensively against West Ham last week. And I think back to like the Man United game where obviously we gave a soppy goal away, but they'd never look like even scoring in open play. And it's a really weird one for me, because I think I feel more secure this season, but we just have those little blips now and then where we look like Saturday, where we could concede four goals and make mistakes. So yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. Obviously you can't do that against teams like Villa. You'll get punished, and obviously we've got a bit of a tricky run in the next few weeks in terms of some of the teams that we're going to play. And if we make those mistakes continuously against those teams, we're going to find ourselves on the end of a few more, maybe four goal losses. So hopefully that kind of cuts out, and we go back to being solid at the back.
Yeah, I agree. Good answer to a difficult question. Sorry, Sarah. I won't ask you the same one. Don't worry. when you look at the game on Saturday and almost half-time came, and Forest made the changes, and then we came out and you scored a quick goal, and then all of a sudden the game is totally changing. You could feel, you know, I could sense in the away end, Villa Park felt really nervous at that point. Their fans were really struggling, and you really thought, hang on a minute, this is the time to capitalise for Forest, and maybe that was the time to kind of go and hit them more, but it just didn't seem to me that we did that. Obviously, it led to the Omar Balotelli mistake, which, as Sam said earlier, kind of kills the game. But at that point, I was just kind of thinking, surely Forest should have really, really gone for it then, and it just didn't seem they did. And I just think that kind of summed up the day, really, that when Villa were most vulnerable, we just didn't really seem to try and exploit them, because I still think we could have had another goal in there.
Yeah, I think there were chances. The Elanga one was the big one. And the kind of form that he's been in, you'd think he would at least hit the target, because he's shown he's capable of it before, and it just didn't happen. I have to say, I don't think Taiwo was at his sharpest on Saturday. He's somebody that Nuno is managing, and he's talked about how he's having to manage his workload in training and in games. And I think maybe it was just a little bit too far for him on Saturday. He didn't look at it at all. I know he got an assist, but it wasn't his best game. Origi came on and made a real difference. I thought he looked really good. That ball for Morgan's goal was excellent. Tough choice for Wednesday night, whether Nuno starts Taiwo or starts Origi, because I think he staked his claim to start. He did really well, but it's finding the right combinations and finding the right formulas, because it's going to be a difficult game on Wednesday night as well. It's Man United at home. It's the kind of game where you think there's a lot at stake going to the next round of the FA Cup. Forest certainly want to do that, and the kind of Man United were up and down, so it's certainly there for the taking, the way that Forest can play at the City Ground and the atmosphere and everything. But a lot rests on the selection, I think, and getting it right and finding the right kind of setup to really get at them.
Yeah, Forest, Man U on Wednesday night. For so long, I wanted to play Man U so many times in the Championship when Forest in the Championship. And then since we've got to the Premier League, we've played them that many times. Not that I'm getting sick of playing Man United, but I'd rather play Man United than Rotherham away on a Wednesday night. No disrespect to Rotherham, but in the same sense, living up in Manchester.
Don't take it for granted, Mark.
Yeah, exactly, Sam. Exactly. Right, let's touch on Origi. As Sarah mentioned there, Sam, he looked sharp and you know, he kind of contributed to the goal, of course. What have you made to him? I won't lie, I've criticised him kind of on this podcast recently, but I feel like maybe it could be a turning point for him. And if he starts against United on Wednesday, his confidence the world good potentially, and almost like a bit of a nothing to lose kind of free hit game on Wednesday for him.
Yeah. Origi's a funny one. He's clearly got bags of talent. I mean, he wouldn't have been at the top level. He wouldn't have won what he's won without it. But I don't know. Sometimes he just doesn't seem like he's bothered. I'm not his biggest fan. If all three strikers were fit, I'd have him third choice personally. He shows those moments, like that ball for Gibbs White was fantastic, great pass. But then he fades in and out of games. Like when we kind of signed him on loan, and obviously he wasn't really getting into the team because obviously you had Taiwo and then Chris Wood was starting to score goals, and he had a bit of a spell. I'd go going back to that Fulham game just because it sticks out in my mind. There was that 20 minutes at the start of the game. He looked really, really sharp, and I thought, oh, finally we've got Liverpool Divock Origi, and this is what he's gonna do. And then obviously we kind of capitulated a little bit, and he just fades out the game. And I think that's kind of been a summary of his season. If he's not, if we're not on top, he's not going to be someone that changes the game for us. And I think that someone like Taiwo Awoniyi, he can drag you back into a game just in a split second. And I just don't think Origi's that person. If Taiwo's fit, Taiwo has to play for me. He's just offers so much more, and I just think he's more bothered than Origi seems. I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is bothered. I might be doing him a disservice here, but that's just looking at from in the stands. That's how it looks to me.
Yeah, it does. I keep going back to the point that as you said, Sam, he's got bags of talent. He won so many, you know, he won major competitions with Liverpool, scored in the Champions League final. Yeah, he just can't really seem to do it with Forest. And Taiwo seems a lot sharper, given that as Sarah mentioned a bit earlier, still struggling probably with fitness and obviously having to manage his workload.
It's even like the fact that I don't think he's If we get him in front of goal, I think he'll score. I think he's that sort of player that will score. But I just don't think he's got that desire to kind of, or that willingness to create the chances. Whereas someone like Taiwo and Chris Wood, they do it themselves. Whereas Origi, it needs to just fall to him. And I don't doubt that if it falls to him, he'll finish it. But yeah, it's creating those chances for him.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to see him start maybe a full 90 minutes in the next few weeks alongside Alanga and Hudson-Odoi and see how kind of that front three faces up, and then Morgan just behind as well. Sarah, when you look at the substitutions Nuno made, and of course Ryan Yates comes on and he has that big chance, do you think this was maybe a Ryan Yates game from the start potentially? It's one of those games where it's going to be quite, you know, Forest almost needed to make it a little bit scrappy, showing teams a little bit too much respect, and we had to kind of almost get into him quite early on, and maybe Yates was that player.
Yeah, as I said, I think the partnership between Dominguez and Danilo didn't really work, and I think that's probably something to look at away from home, because Forest have got some big away games coming up between now and the end of the season. So Nuno has to look at that and see what works best away from home. I think Ryan Yates probably games like that, you're right, he gets stuck in. He'll doesn't have the technicality of a Danilo or Dominguez, but what he offers in other areas can really help change games, get you on the front foot, break up play, and just put the kind of effort in that we all know he brings. I think he should have finished that chance, but he had just come on, and it is difficult when you're coming into games cold and all of a sudden, if you're not a natural striker and the ball falls to you, it's perhaps a little bit understandable that he didn't quite catch it right. I'm sure he would still expect to have done better, but when you've just come onto the pitch, I think maybe there's a little bit of leeway there for him. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Still waiting for him to get his first Premier League goal, because I think he just about deserves it by now.
I just can't believe he scored his first goal.
It's got to come, surely.
We'll go for a swim in the Trent, can't we?
I'll leave that one to you, but... Yeah, I think he's got to get one at some point. Maybe one of the big ones towards the end of the season, and it proves to be decisive. Hopefully, that's when it falls for him. But he keeps getting in those kind of positions, which you want as a midfielder. He's getting there. It's just the end bit. I'm sure it's something that he's working on, because he's desperate to get on the score sheet, desperate to get his first Premier League goal. So hopefully, it happens for him.
Do you think Sam Yates is such an important character to have around the club? And when you look at what's possibly next for Forest, with, as we talk about all the time, a possible points deduction and tough games coming up, and really being in a relegation fight and trying to survive this season, Forest need leaders like him, don't you, really, off the pitch and on it at times?
Yeah, especially now that obviously Worrell's out on loan. I think that obviously there's been a lot being said about Joe Worrell, but at the end of the day, he was Forest through and through, and he was that, whether he was playing or not, I'm sure he was the voice in that changing room. And without him, I think Ryan's definitely got to be the one that steps up. He's obviously same situation as Joe, but he's got to be that one that steps up. And I think, like you said, sir, I think someone in that midfield really just to break up the play and stop Villa from playing would have been perfect. I don't know if he played in the game against when we played Villa at the start of the season and we won, but that's the sort of thing that we need. Like, they didn't even get a chance to play in that game, and I'm sure Ryan Yates would have been starting, or him or Sangare, someone in there that's just going to stop that ball going to Watkins' feet and stop them from playing. That's what we needed. I mean, I think there was a moment in the game where I think Douglas Luiz was running through the midfield and Dominguez tried to tackle him, and he just put his arm out and pushed him off. And I thought, this is going to be a rough afternoon for those two in midfield today. But yeah, I mean, he's a really important player. Whatever you say about his technical ability, I think he offers so much to this team. And that sort of player has kind of gone out of the game now, that kind of midfield hard man enforcer kind of role, and it's important for us.
Yeah, massively important. Let's touch on a few positives. Forest's XG, I mean, is lower away from home, but saying that, one positive despite the poor performance is that we've still scored two goals, and that is the thing, Sarah, isn't it? Is Forest with that front three, as we keep talking about, with Taiwo when he will be back in the next few weeks, hopefully fully fit and sharp, with Alanga, with Hudson-Odoi, it really can damage teams. And I was listening to a Villa podcast, and they said the exact same, that the Forest, that Villa were a little bit lucky in a way that almost the Forest front three didn't have more chances.
Yeah, I mean, they're capable of causing any team problem. We know the pace that Alanga's got. Callum Hudson-Odoi is really starting to show what he can do. We know what Taiwo is all about. Morgan Gibbs-White, everybody knows what talent he's got. There's a lot of quality at the top end of the pitch. It's just giving them the opportunity to play. They didn't get that on Saturday, but they still caused Villa problems, and they still gave them moments where they created chances, where they had Villa on the back foot. It just didn't happen often enough. But every game, Forest have an opportunity, that they are creating chances every game. They've always been in matches generally under Nuno, Saturday first half aside. But I think that the positive was the way that Forest responded on Saturday. Earlier in the season, having gone 3-0 down, I think they perhaps it could have been another Fulham, because it's just having that reaction, that character, that spirit. Forest had that on Saturday, and they have to take encouragement from that because they're going to need that between now and May. They responded in the right way. Nuno's changes helped, but I was also impressed with how the players took it upon themselves as well. We saw Morgan Gibbs-White after the second goal went in, and he gathered everybody around and had a little team talk on the pitch. And yeah, there was a bit of finger pointing and players maybe having a bit of a go at the defending, but I think that showed the fight and it showed the desire and it showed the passion, and that's what you want. And Nuno's talked a few times about how he wants the players to have responsibility on the pitch to try to solve problems themselves, as well as having the help from the sidelines. And I think that showed that. Morgan, we talk about Yates being a leader. Morgan Gibbs-White is that as well. I think he's really stepped up, and he really wears the armband well. He's really good at trying to G everybody up, trying to make sure that everybody gives it their all, even if it's not quite happening. He leads by example and he sets the right standards. And I think that little team talk showed what he is as a captain. And Forest need that. They need players like that, not just Ryan Yates. They need others as well. And Morgan has certainly got that. That resolve is so important. Not to fold when you've conceded three goals and it looks like it's going to be one of those days and nothing's happening. It can be so easy for heads to go and heads to drop. And that didn't happen. So I think there has to be some kind of encouragement and confidence taken from that. Because I think at 3-0, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be a repeat of Fulham, the way it was going. The fact that that didn't unfold showed a lot of character.
Yeah, it did. Forest have scored 17 Premier League goals in Nuno's time in charge so far, and that's the same as the first 17 games of the season under Steve Cooper. So that is a positive heading into this kind of final stretch and a final stretch that will be difficult. Before we move on, Sam, and we look at the Man United game and the Liverpool game, I mean, two huge games in the space of a week and three if you included the Villa game. Do you fear for Forest? Again, it's a difficult question, and I'll answer it as well, maybe. Do you fear for Forest going down this season, given a possible points deduction, given huge games coming up, and given the fight probably from other teams? You look at the likes of Luton and obviously Everton as well.
We're going to be in and around it, like 100%. I just think at the moment we're just too inconsistent. We have good games and bad games, and it's. Especially with the point deduction looming, we'd need to be at least if we're saying 10 points, we need to be at least 10 points clear. And I think for that we have to really really become a bit more consistent as a team. And I think there are games where we do have to treat them as free hits, like this Liverpool game at the weekend. I mean, we beat them last year at home. I don't see why we can't do it again. The team that we've got now is arguably better. So. I mean, I'd hope so with all the money spent, but it's a tough one, and I think we're definitely going to be in and around it. I think like it really struck fear into me when I saw that Everton were beating Brighton away again. I was like, oh, for God's sake, here we go, and then Brighton managed to somehow save that one. But yeah, we're going to be right in amongst it. So just got to fingers crossed really that we don't suffer that point deduction.
Yeah. I think that if Forest
go on,
do
Max,
get
your opinion.
I do think it's I honestly do think that if Forest get a point deduction, that's probably any more than 3 or 4 points. Then I do fear for us. I think it's a huge mountain to climb. Yes, there will be a bit of a siege mentality, but in the same sense, you've got huge games coming up. I mean, you look at the likes of Luton away and Sheffield United away towards the end of the season. And I mean, the last game of the season's away at Burnley, and I do think Burnley and Sheffield United will already be relegated by then. I do think those two are confirmed. I just think it's between this last space. Saying that, you never know what can happen. Football is a funny game, and maybe, I mean, Palace were kind of dragged into it a little bit, but they've got a new manager now, so that will probably help with Oliver Glasner, and maybe maybe Brentford will be dragged into it more. Who knows? But I do think it will be between Forest, Everton, and Luton. So we will see.
I just think we need to, I don't know what the, what's going on behind the scenes, but we need to know soon. It's not fair to keep dragging this out. And if it's dragged out right to the end of the season, it doesn't give us a fair representation. Obviously, I know that Everton are also facing the same sort of situation, but we need to know where we stand now so that we can prepare for what we've got. If we get to the end of the season and then get hit with it after the season finishes or with one game to go, it's not. I don't think it's fair. So hopefully we find out soon whatever the fate is. And if it's a point deduction, then we can all get behind everyone, galvanise everyone and really push on for a survival charge. But yeah, we just need to know sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we do. Forrest, I think, Sarah, is it Forrest have a meeting in the next week or two?
Well, I think we haven't got an exact date. They obviously have the hearing, which is being kept quite secretive about. I wouldn't be surprised if it drags on a little bit because we've seen Everton's original charge, their appeal still hasn't been sorted. So I think you kind of have to prepare that it might drag on, that it might be after the season's finished when everything's finally sorted. I think you kind of have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best, to sum up a cliche. But yeah, it's not what anybody wants. It's far from ideal having that uncertainty and that that kind of threat of a deduction hanging over the club and nobody knowing for sure. But I think for Nuno and the players, it's just doing what they need to do on the pitch at the minute, because that's all they can control, and that can have a big say in what happens at the end of the season. I think, yes, inconsistency is a concern at the minute, but if you look at last season and the way that Forest finished the campaign, they went on that really good run. There was a stage, I think, beginning of April, where everybody thought it was looking quite bleak and it was quite grim. And then all of a sudden, it was that Liverpool game away that there was a turning point and there was a really good performance put in. They didn't get a result from it, but they kicked on from it and then just went on a really good run in the last, whatever it is, 7, 8, 9 games or something, and picked up points, played well, and they are capable of doing that again. It's just getting that little run put together. And I do think having a consistent side will help with that. Nuno isn't being helped by injuries. He's obviously got a few more to contend with now. Having the three AFCON players come back injured is far from ideal because they're all key players. They would all probably be in the starting 11 when fully fit and when back involved. But it's the kind of thing that Nuno has had to deal with a lot since he's been in charge, and it's just another one of those things that he's having to kind of contend with and make use of what he's got. That's what you have a squad for. That's what you have the other players to come in and show what they can do and keep points being ticked over. Because I think Forest are capable of going on a good run. They do have that quality. They do have the players that can do that. It's just showing it. It's just doing it on the pitch. And hopefully they do that between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, totally agree. And a huge game in the FA Cup on Wednesday night and then in the league against Liverpool. Sam, do you think Forest should be taking the FA Cup seriously? This is a chance to get to the quarterfinal of the Cup. That's one game away from Wembley. And you just never know that it might give us momentum a little bit like it did with Cooper in the Championship and that promotion winning season.
Again, a difficult question because if you could guarantee me survival in the Premier League right now and we'd have lost that game to Blackpool, I'd have taken it. In my opinion, I think Premier League survival is the priority. But I think you're very valid in that point, saying that we could use it as a bit of a platform to boost what we're doing. It's just, I just get scared that someone's vital's going to get injured in one of these games, and like it's going to impact our season that way. Obviously, everyone loves a cup run. I think, I mean, the cup run last season was fantastic. And it's nice that we're kind of turning up because we've been terrible in cup competitions over the last 20 odd years. not really getting out the past the third round in most FA Cups. So it's nice that we're kind of competing now and we're up there. But if we lose on Wednesday, I won't be too bothered if we go and get a point or three against Liverpool.
Yeah. Sarah, you agree with that, and you look ahead to that Liverpool game and given their busy schedule with the cup final yesterday and they'll be on a high after that, and then they're playing in the FA Cup this week, the same as Forest, and then same rest period, quite a lot of players out. Again, it's a good chance to play Liverpool.
Yeah, I for that reason, I think that that Wednesday night is really important. A big game against Man United, get a good result and a good performance in that, and then go into the Liverpool game in good spirits. That would do confidence the world of good and help with momentum and everything. So I think Wednesday night is really important. And I think Nuno generally has gone with a strong lineup. He might make a few changes, I guess, because of maybe the injury concerns and maybe the fact that there's a big game on Saturday. But I think he'll want to build momentum. I think he'll want to see a response from Saturday to put a better performance in, and then have that to carry into the Liverpool game because it's a big one on Saturday. It's the kind of game where you think Forest can have a really big performance and they're capable of getting a result. To go into that on the back of a win over Man United in the FA Cup, I think would just be the perfect platform and just helps lift the mood after Saturday, because we all know how one result, one performance can just make such a massive difference. It did after the West Ham game, and then all of a sudden it's different again after Villa. But to go into Saturday on the back of a really good win, I think it would be huge. And it would do the players a lot of good in terms of confidence as well.
Yeah, knowing Forest, we'll beat Man United 2-0 or 3-0, and then Liverpool might be a disaster, but maybe that's just me being negative.
I'll take it if we win both games. That'd be spot on. That'd be perfect.
That would be the dream.
that's the dream.
Finally, then, just before we go and before we do the competition, Sam, just give us a bit of info and kind of background info on how the Tricky Tees business really started and kind of where you're at now with it.
Yeah, sure. So, kind of started it a couple of years ago. Didn't really take it too seriously till maybe a year or so ago. But yeah, no, I always enjoyed kind of being creative and enjoyed doing digital artwork. And I've obviously seen what the guys at Art of Football do and really like their sort of stuff. So I thought, I'll have a go of it on my own. And so yeah, started off just doing some kind of generic football designs. And then I was like, well, I may as well make this all about Forest because that's what I really care about. So yeah, started doing some more Forest designs, and yeah, it's been going really well. Obviously trying to kind of get my name out there a little bit with it and get more people seeing it. But it's great. I've had some great moments. I've seen fans wearing some of my t-shirts at games, which is cool. I had a message from Danilo's agent in Brazil saying that he'd seen the design I'd done for him, and then I arranged to go and meet up and give him the t-shirt, which was brilliant. Great. And then had the same thing for Felipe, and I've got a photo on my Instagram of Felipe wearing the t-shirt I designed for him. So yeah, it's really cool. Obviously, like this pod as well is something that I'd never have been able to do if I didn't start it. So yeah, it's really great, and hopefully other Forest fans enjoy the t-shirts that I make. And yeah, it's a hobby for me at the moment, but hopefully we can continue to grow it and see where it goes, see where it takes me.
No, 100%, and people can search Tricky Tees across Instagram and also online as well for the website. So what we're going to do then for the podcast is we're going to give one of our lucky viewers or listeners a chance to win the t-shirt that Sam's wearing now. For those watching on YouTube, he is modeling it very nicely. It's the Elanga t-shirt. If you're listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, listening back to this, you can search Tricky Tees and you will see the design that we're talking about. To be in with a chance to win the competition, all you've got to do is go over to our YouTube channel, Garibaldi Red, watch today's episode, like and comment as well. Comment, it can be a comment about anything, whether your thoughts on Forest at the minute or just very simply a comment like win. And then if you go over to Instagram as well and give Sam a follow, then you will enter yourself into the competition. That is how you do it. For those listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, you will have to venture over to the dark side on YouTube for us to be in with a chance of winning it. And then one of you lucky people will get the chance to win the t-shirt. I don't know about you, Sarah, but I might enter it.
Well, I was just going to say, are we allowed, or are we not permitted to?
maybe.
Might look a bit dodgy if I know you two
in it. Maybe for the next podcast, we could all wear the Elanga matching t-shirts. We could have Garibaldi red merchandise.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good. So that's the way to enter. And if you're unsure, we'll put a few tweets out on social media as well with a step-by-step basis. And for those watching on YouTube as well, because we've been live today, the Spotify and Apple Podcast version won't come out until later on this afternoon. So bear with us on that. Right, I think that does us nicely. Fingers crossed for a positive Forest performance on Wednesday night. Sam, Sarah, thank you very much. And as always, if you do enjoy this episode, leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Like, share and subscribe across YouTube. Have a great rest of your day.